All right, back here on Cody and Gold, 1 o'clock hour on a Thursday here in about 15 minutes. We'll get right back into the Royals and whether or not this offense can keep hitting like this and still advance. That's the conversation we'll have in just a little while. But let's talk some fantasy football. Week number 5 already, Charge. Paul Charchi and our fantasy football guru from Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com joins us thanks to Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. The AL Central's looking pretty good. I know your Twins aren't part of the party. No. Sorry about that.
It's so toxic here that we, by the end of the season, the Twins, the fans had started an organized effort to urge people not to go to the ballpark.
Oh, wow.
And this is for a team that in late August had a 95% chance of making the playoffs, and they tanked so hard, and ownership was so resistant to adding any payroll that the fans here have completely turned against the organization. So it couldn't be more toxic here, which is ultimately what, you know, has helped the Royals. Okay, well, last thing on baseball, and I don't follow it that closely. So could the Royals have beaten any other opponent other than Baltimore?
With scoring 2 runs? Maybe not.
Right.
Not in this round, but, you know,
probably not.
Starts fresh next week, or starts fresh on Saturday. Plus, Charge, I'll let you speak for the entire nation, you know? You speak for the country in this moment. How sick is everyone of Kansas City sports, you know?
It'd be nice to talk about a different city for a while, especially your football team. Man, always something. How about Mama Rice?
I saw
a
that.
A porch pirate wearing your kid's jersey.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the dumbest thinking of all time. And then
who doesn't like hot to go, though,
of yourself.
You know?
Then to Instagram yourself in the jersey you commit the crime with.
Yeah, that wasn't good, Charge. Saw that come across on TMZ.
Can't make it up.
No, let's get to some fantasy football, though. I guess there's some Chiefs tie-in with this, too. But Tyreek Hill, we know the quarterback situation down in Miami is a mess, but I thought Mike McDaniel would still find a way to let Tyreek Hill, you know, really explode down there. Not the case.
No, it's been a disaster. I did too. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when the injury first came down. So there was that week 1, Tua played that whole game. Tyreek Hill was wide receiver 3 overall that week. And here's his finishes since then. Wide receiver 48, oof. Wide receiver 49, and wide receiver 46. It is, and it's trending worse. The Miami offense last week down to 78 passing yards. And only 184 total yards. So is Tyreek Hill benchable outright at this point? So, Alex and Cody, you know what's going to happen. If you do bench him, he's going to rip off one of those plays where he, like, breaks 6 tackles, he stiff arms a back judge, and then forward flips into the end zone, and that because that's what he can do. You know that'll happen if you bench him, but the right answer for 3 straight weeks has been benching Tyreek Hill. And they're going right back to Tyler Huntley again, which I don't totally understand. I mean, it begs the question, if Tim Boyle is somehow worse than Tyler Huntley that we saw last week, why is Tim Boyle even on your roster if he's worse than Tyler Huntley? It's New England this week. They've got a great pair of cornerbacks. It's a bad team overall, but they got Christian Gonzalez, they got Jonathan Jones. Those guys are good. They give up 23 yards per game and 35 yards per game. So Tyreek Hill is no safe play. I've got him. I'm looking at my rankings right now. I should have had this ready right off the top. I have him as wide receiver 36 this week, which puts him in the danger zone about guys that you would necessarily start.
Charge, I know you're better at fantasy football than me, but sometimes desperation calls for it. I had already bid on DeAndre Swift last week. Needed to start him in a guillotine league in which all of my players were injured because I had Isaiah Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey. So suck it. You were wrong. DeAndre Swift is a star, apparently. What the hell happened there? How the hell? You were saying to cut him. What happened?
I know. Well, look, okay, first, last week I gave you all the metrics about DeAndre Swift that basically backed up the notion that Swift was the worst running back in the NFL, the worst starting running back in the NFL. And just the eye test and then all the metrics. And I'm like, look, they got to make a change. At some point, they got to go to somebody else. And there was a bunch of talk in Chicago that they were going to give Roschon Johnson a long look and maybe even the starting job. So, of course, what happens? DeAndre Swift gets the start, looks amazing from the get-go, holds the job, and has the best game that he's had in Chicago by a mile, even with Tevin Jenkins getting knocked out of the game, and I look like a moron. And sometimes I just am a moron, so I guess it adds up.
I think this is fantasy football in a nutshell, though, man. You can make all the what's seemingly right decisions, and they're always wrong somehow.
I'm glad it worked out for you. Sometimes desperation is really the cure. So I'm glad it worked out.
We're talking to Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Here in Kansas City, we all know another injury at the wide receiver spot, Rashee Rice. Even if we don't know the actual injury yet, it's not like he's returning anytime soon, if he returns at all. But then Travis Kelce in that game, they needed him to step up. He did. Is he now going to return fantasy-wise to a player you can count on?
Well, I'll be interested in your opinion on this. Mine is, when you take away your offense's best receiver, I don't think good things happen. I think it's all bad things that happen. Rashee Rice was required, mandated special defensive attention. And you love that because it contorts defenses from playing the way they want to play to having to play to stop Rashee Rice. Now defenses get to play in the schemes that they want. And that also means they're just going to be able to pound more defensive attention on Travis Kelce and make the Chiefs beat you with somebody other than Rashee Rice, who's not playing, and Travis Kelce, who you're going to take away. So, and I would, that's how I would beat the Chiefs. I'd be like, okay, go beat me with Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore. And if you can, God bless you. I'm not letting Travis Kelce beat me. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Is it, even though we know that they're going to want to send more passes to Travis Kelce, I think defenses are going to largely neutralize him. What do you think, guys? I mean, you're close to this as anybody. I'm not optimistic.
I agree with what you're saying in terms of how defenses are going to approach it. But I think we saw a little bit in that Chargers game. So some of those same underneath kind of crossing routes, that's where Rashee Rice was also thriving, and he's just a younger, faster player, so he's able to get open quicker. I think Travis Kelce, the issue for them is going to take longer for the route to develop because he's 34 years old, but I think those routes are still going to be there. So I expect now Travis Kelce to put up numbers for the time being. My concern is more week 15, is he still able to do it? Is he still doing it come playoff time if he's worn out? But I actually think the next couple weeks, you're going to see the production.
I hope you're right. I know we need, and frankly, fantasy managers need Travis Kelce to be the old Travis Kelce. He's now gone, and we know his playoff run was way better than his regular season from last year, but he's now gone 11 straight regular season games without a touchdown. 11.
Wow.
It's a long time in NFL.
Charge, somehow tonight's game has some of the most fascinating fantasy decisions I think you can have. Because for starters, Bucky Irving, a guy, some people were smart enough to take late in some drafts, he's now officially in a timeshare, but maybe more? What do you do with Bucky Irving? Is he going to be the full-time starter in the next 2 weeks?
He looks good. Get this. Bucky Irving is running back 6 in avoided tackle rate. Oh. And right now, we're up to, by rush attempts up to last week, it's a 50-50 split with Rashad White, who is struggling a lot. White sitting at, I believe, 3 yards per carry, right in that range. Irving, and we love touchdowns. This is fantasy football. We love touchdowns. Get this from last week. Irving had a carry from the 3-yard line. He had a carry from the 2-yard line, scored a touchdown, but had it reversed on review, and then they gave it to him again at the 1-yard line, and he scored. And Rashad White last week never touched the ball in the red zone, run or pass. So the money plays are starting to lean towards Bucky Irving, and we might be seeing a situation where this might flip to like 60-40 Irving, and Rashad White's role really becomes much more of a pass-catching role. And that change could be happening right before our eyes, and we might see that tonight.
Staying with the backfield, how about in Atlanta? We all know about Bijan Robinson, what he's capable of, but suddenly Tyler Algier is also just getting way more run.
He is, and he looks good. I think this is fascinating.
Was it Arthur Smith right, George? I mean, I hate to say something like that out loud.
I know. We vilified Arthur Smith last year for how he used Algier and Robinson. I think he was right. And by the way, look at what Arthur Smith is doing with the Steelers and Justin Fields right now. We might owe Arthur Smith an apology.
Oh, no.
Let's talk Tyler Algier for a second. So I'm going to give you his NFL ranks among rushers with at least Tyler Allgeier's 27 carries. In yards per carry, Tyler Allgeier is third in the NFL, Bijan Robinson, 29th. Yards after contact, Allgeier is third, Bijan Robinson, 33rd. Oh. Avoided tackle rate, my last stat for you. Avoided tackle rate, Allgeier, 14th, Bijan Robinson, 31st. I believe if you did not know the names and the draft status of Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, and you just looked at the tape of how these guys run, and I said, Cody, Alex, what should the timeshare be between Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson? I think if you just watched the tape and took the other stuff off the table, I think you'd say this thing should be a 50-50 split.
Yeah, honestly, I think you're probably right. And I hate it because Bijan coming out of the draft, but that's the entire Falcons motto. Look, I liked Kyle Pitts coming out of the draft too, and I don't like
overrated. My goodness.
There are no good tight ends in fantasy. I mean, it is a
no.
It is a horrible, nightmarish hellscape for tight ends. But like even then, can we still consider getting rid of Kyle Pitts? He can't get in the end zone.
I say we just drop Kyle Pitts altogether. In the history of the fantasy football industry, which I've been in for a long time, I don't think we as experts have ever been more conclusively and extensively wrong about any player more than Kyle Pitts. You know, when he entered the draft, we loved his prospects, and then we suffered from massive confirmation bias when the Falcons picked him at pick number 4. And then we spent 3 years of middling stats blaming Arthur Smith. But look where he is today. He's 19th among tight ends in yards. He's 27th in receptions, and especially in the guillotine format, which I know you guys love and play, where dud games end your season, starting Kyle Pitts is as dangerous as attending a PTA meeting at Diddy's house.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he went there. Paul Charchia.
Doesn't get more dangerous than that.
GuillotineLeagues.com, FantasyLife.com. We'll leave it at that. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
On that note,
that's a perfect note to eat on.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, Paul Charchian.
He joins us. Good way to end it, you know?
Drinks,
gotta get the hell out of here, Charge.
Scenic views. Yeah, it was time to end the interview anyway. Thank you, Charge. Appreciate
it. Especially that way, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I told you, even though I was bought in for years, I'm off the Kyle. Before the season, I was off the Kyle Pitts bandwagon.
We had a conversation.
I had to leave.
I said I had to leave.
It was time.
This is one of those where I will say
I was a year
for
behind,
a couple years. I've been saying he was overrated, and everybody said, "Oh, the quarterbacks have sucked." At some point, it's a you problem, and it's a Kyle Pitts problem.
I know, but I just like sometimes we all come around a little bit slower on either the good or the bad. Mm-hmm. On this one, I came around a little bit slower, but I'm just letting you know I'm there. I will never draft Kyle Pitts on a fantasy team I ever possess ever again. And I won't ask for the Chiefs to trade for him in the middle of the season this year.
Thank you. Yeah, that was your other thing. I forgot. That was your...
I wanted him on the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no. No. Yeah,
have a real problem of... I don't think he... The reports are, and I think this might be true, I don't think Kyle Pitts really likes playing football. And I think that we undervalue that.
That's my favorite media take when people struggle now. A lot of people use like, he just doesn't like playing.
I don't say that very often. I don't know that I've said that about a
player.
You
haven't,
some of the reporting is that, like, because they were taking from Kirk Cousins' comments in the offseason when he's like, I got to convince him that, like, doing all these little things are important and this is why practice. I think he might not, like, maybe not dislike football. He might just not be a grinder. You know, and like the guys who have a lot of success in this league, like Travis Kelce or others, depending on the position, they work their ass off 24 hours a day and never stop. And I'm thinking maybe Kyle Pitts isn't. Either way,
maybe,
I'm off
if
it.
You think about it, too.
Either way, I'm off it.
His whole life, he's probably just been the far superior athlete where he's just better than everybody. It just comes natural. He's just that much more gifted. Where he gets to the NFL, it's the best of the best. And all of a sudden, getting 8 catches for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns is not nearly as easy.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I'm not saying it's that, but yeah, sometimes your God-given athletic ability is not enough anymore. You got to work for it. That's probably what happened to the Orioles anyway. You know, they're probably just trying to go off.
They didn't want it back. They didn't love it anymore.
Mm. The Royals did. You could tell that. They definitely loved it. But I think we're all asking that, like, we're excited. We're celebratory. Can't wait for the Yankees on Saturday. You can hear it right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Then on Monday, you can hear the Royals on The Fan AM over at 610. And then the Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan, because we're the home for both the Royals and the Chiefs. right here on your all sports station. But with all the optimism, there is still a very real question, right? I mean, it's pretty simple. Can you hit like this and still win baseball?
Yeah, and that's my biggest question I have going in. I know they just won a series winning 1-0 and 2-1. I don't believe in a 5-game series against the New York Yankees. If you think they're taking these first two or one of the first two games, I don't believe they can score only 3 runs combined in 2-game stretch of the
series. Bert disagreed with us.
I know he did. I think a lot of people might. It's funny. Now we've like flipped on the other end. At first, it was like, you guys are too optimistic. And now I'll get a text that says I'm hating. But that's the beautiful thing.
I wasn't too optimistic when they made it all the way to the ALDS.
I just don't believe. So I think the pitching is going to continue being great. But I don't believe they can get by with scoring 3 runs in a 2-game window throughout this series and win 3 total games. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they can't get the offense going. But I will be very surprised if we're sitting here on Wednesday going into game 3 and you tell me, oh, yeah, the Royals are up 2-0 or they split and they've only scored 2 or 3 runs. I just would be really, really surprised considering the ballpark they're going to be playing in. And frankly, just like the Yankees offense, maybe the bats are cold on Saturday night, but at some point you're not keeping the bats down probably the whole series. So I just don't know if you're going to be able to win through 3 games that are 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. Those kind of games throughout the entire series. They just did it against an Orioles team that was not playing good baseball and an Orioles team that simply is not as good as the Yankees either.
I'm with you. I really don't think they can get away with winning 1-0-2-1 in multiple games against the Yankees. But I'll say 2 weeks ago, I'd have said it's a 0% chance. You're not winning a playoff series against the Yankees. 0.00000% chance you're beating the Yankees that way. Now it's like 5-10. I mean, it's something. It's not 0 for me. I don't think that's the way to go about it. And I don't think you're going to win those games. I wouldn't predict you to win the games in that fashion. But if the starting rotation is going to continue to be as dominant as it's been all season long, and all of a sudden, no one in the bullpen is going to give up a run, I can't say 0%. You had pointed out the stat earlier. It's been 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, the Royals have given up a single run, one. In the bullpen.
Yeah, and like 14 or 15 hits. That's it.
Yeah, only team in the playoffs who has yet to give up an earned run in any game. And I get it, they played 2, but everyone played 2. There's only one team tonight who's heading to game 3 of the wild card series. So it's not 0. I would feel a lot more comfortable, I'll tell you, if you could just promise me the offense is going to come back together.
Oh, sure. If the offense gets going, they're winning this series, no question.
The question is, do you think they're close? Because Bobby's working, Vinny's back, and it's already working, seemingly. Mm-hmm. 2 hits yesterday, a pair of walks in the series. So he's got 2 hits and 2 walks in the series. Oh, okay. Massey hit the ball well in the series, so there's 3. Salvi's still not getting hits. Some of the balls are hit hard. He had an almost home run in game 1 that was hit pretty hard. Would have been a home run about half the major league parks, not the one they were hitting in. Would have been a home run at Yankee Stadium. So, like, maybe? Do you sense that, like, the offense is coming, or are you still just being like, I'll believe it when I see it?
Yeah.
I think I'm on the ladder, sadly.
So I think Bobby's going to keep doing what he's done. I think it's a good sign that Vinny still doesn't have that many bats under his belt post-injury, and you can already tell he's starting to see the ball pretty well and is getting closer himself.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he hits a home run in this series against the Yankees. I think he's getting closer. I got to see it, though, overall for the entire lineup. And so much to me of this offense having a chance to break out is Salvador Perez related. And we've seen him go through these kind of strings of ABs that are rough to watch at times. And then all of a sudden he gets hot. And the Royals bats, like a lot of teams, usually perform well in Yankee Stadium. I think, you know, and also I haven't checked the weather in New York. I know the weather here is going to be nice in New York. It's not like it's 40 degrees yet. I don't believe in New York. I could be wrong.
I mean, this time of year, so it could change kind of quick, but yeah, I don't think
you're in that, which means there's still the
70s
opportunity.
And 60s.
Yeah. So that's nothing. That's fine. I don't think that's not going to impact the offense. It's certainly not going to hold down the Yankees offense. So I expect to see some offense, hopefully, at least warm up a little bit to where you're getting
4 runs,
having just, you know, 1 run a game. Cause yeah, we all agree, like text line, we all agree that the starters are great. The bullpen is playing sensational. I'm just saying
every game only scoring
I don't know
runs.
If they can win 3 games in this series
doing the exact same thing that they just did. That's
tomorrow,
all I'm
the
saying.
High is, I'm sorry, not tomorrow. Saturday, the high is 73 in New York with a low of 67. So pretty nice weather. Monday, high of 80, low of 73. So
okay.
They're going to get two and sunny for both, like 10% chance of rain in the area. So, I mean, it's going to be pleasant. In case you're, it's going to be nice. I told you, I like the cold weather. I like the fall weather for my baseball, but I can't complain because the
Royals are actually playing. Keep advancing, we'll eventually get that, you know? If we get to
it's been unseasonably warm, I would say. Don't you think?
Is that true? I'm not sure. Like
it has to be. Do you ever remember being like 85 degrees in October? The high's like 90 degrees today.
Get Brian Busby on the phone. Let's find out. I don't know.
I don't have Brian Busby's number.
I don't either.
Do you? I mean, I guess Dana and Parks do. Yeah. They got like a thing. Maybe we can. You know, I don't have a regular weather guy.
We don't. We don't have one right now. We are actually. By
the
way, if you're a local meteorologist and you listen to the show, please reach out. We would love to have a meteorologist on speed dial for this show.
For just any purpose.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a hurricane.
Hunter. Guy who gave us the hurricane shirts.
He came up to us a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what we were at. We were at Rally House, and he's like, and he was wearing the shirt. And he's like, "Do you remember?" And I go, "I remember. Oh yeah, I still have the shirt. Absolutely. It's hurricane season too, obviously. So he's busy.
Dude flies planes into hurricanes.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Dude, I thought it was dangerous to skydive. Just wait.
Because there was a report, because there was flight tracking, that somebody flew directly into the eye
that was a private
of Helene,
plane.
And I didn't know. I'm just checking to see
so
if
that,
this is our
so
guy.
He actually no he that would they would know that he works for what's the I don't have the t-shirt with
it's like
the,
a special military group they fly like
they're trained
stealth
the,
jets
what you're
into
talking
it.
About was a screenshot and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this private jet flew right through the eye. They looked and it was at 40,000 feet or something. Mm-hmm. So it was above the storm.
Yeah,
but yes, I know exactly the screenshot you're.
I was wondering if that was the guy you're talking about. That.
Yeah. But yes. Flying through hurricanes is that's wild.
It's bold.
I don't think I'll be applying for that.
You think a little turbulence is bad on your Southwest flight?
You're not going to apply for that, but you said you would live on Mars for 6 months?
He said that. You did say that.
Slightly different jobs, dude. Also, no one's ever lived on Mars
somebody
before.
Somebody just sent me Brian Busby's number.
Sweet. Get him on
you think
next.
It's less risky to live on Mars for 6 months?
I wouldn't say less risky.
There's no way it's less risky.
But,
it's no
way cooler. You know, you get the cool factor.
Yeah, but you may not come back home.
The cool factor.
In fact, I don't think you can come back home.
Well, you can come back home eventually. They just grab those astronauts off the space station. It'll be fine.
Have they done that? The ones that have been stuck thanks to Boeing?
Was coming.
Has that happened? The ones that have been told they got to hang
I
up
saw
there
them giving
bit.
Hugs and stuff. I thought
they're
they got
back?
Rescued.
I mean, that's great news if that's true.
That's on the space station. We're talking about Mars.
I'm aware.
I don't think if you're taking a trip to Mars, Cody, you're coming back. That's a one-way trip. That's a one-way
you're
trip, I believe. They have rovers they send up there. I think if you that's a one-way trip to Mars, man.
Maybe. We'll get to that later.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then talk a little bit more about where Bobby Witt Jr. has put himself in terms of historical implications with his playoff run and what Matt Quatrero is doing so far this postseason.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, of course, the Royals on to the ALDS. It'll start in New York on Saturday night, 5:38 first pitch. And yes, as Vern pointed out, military time, 17:38.
That seems
of course
just
it is.
Wildly
of course it is.
Appropriate.
That game will
if
be
Drew
right
did
here.
Not know, Fetty Wap was a big thing, Drew, back in 2015 for the Royals.
Fetty Wap is like was like the jam.
Trap Queen.
Back. Oh yeah,
That was
queen.
It was like a whole theme
RG
around
Allen.
This team at this time.
Yeah,
so like they would like adopt it. Oh yeah, dude, there's people in this town who have 1738 tattoos on their body because
do
of it.
Yeah, you should go search Google. Just Google Royals 1738 and you'll see Drew. Kind of get a little background on it.
My wife and I bump Fetty Wap all the time. Still.
Royals players once fined each other $1,000 a player if they didn't mention Fetty Wap in postgame interviews.
Yeah, that's they would awesome. Try. Nobody knew it at the time, though, at first.
No,
like,
we didn't.
And so they would randomly be like, yeah, you know, the last 1738 games or 1738 pitches. Mm-hmm. You're like, what are you talking about? But
and
that
as
was.
As soon as Vern tweeted it, I was like, he's got to be talking about Fetty Wap.
So the game Saturday and throughout the entire postseason right here, 96.5 The Fan Saturday. Now on Monday, because, of course, we've got a heck of a Monday night showcase, the Chiefs
little boat.
Pre-gamer is going to start at 4 o'clock here on 96.5. The Royals will be on 610 The Fan AM just on Monday. That's because of Monday Night Football
sports extravaganza, if you will.
We're your home for both. We're going to give you both. Next up on What's Trending, Rashee Rice update. He was in the Chiefs locker room today. He was seen walking pretty well, according to Nate Taylor. Considering his circumstances, is how he put it, he did have swelling around his knee. He is not expected to see the specialist in Dallas until early next week to determine the severity of the injury. So I guess there is still maybe some optimism for some out there that, hey, he's walking. We'll see. Really, they're just, it's a wait and see. We don't have any real answers, I guess, on Rashee Rice. We thought by now we'd know that it was a season-ending knee injury. We have to wait a few more days to find out where that knee is early next week.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, there is still a Game 3 taking place tonight. We'll find out if the Mets or the Brewers will advance in the National League Wild Card. Series tied, obviously, one game apiece. That game in Milwaukee, a little after 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. And then on Saturday, earlier in the day, prior to the Royals game, the first game will actually be the Tigers and Guardians on TBS right around noon. Then the winner of the Mets-Brewers game is going to head out to Philadelphia to take on the Phillies. That's at 3:08. And that will be before the Royals-Yankees game. And then the late game on Saturday is slated to be the Padres and Dodgers, which should be a great series.
How about the trend continue? 10 of 11 wild card series since they switched to 7 teams have been sweeps, as in 2-game sweeps in that series. And to this point, 11 of 11 have been won by the team who won game 1 of the series. We'll find out whether or not that trend continues tonight.
That is what's trending on Cody and Gold. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7965. They said, is it weird to say that I came from your boss's house, Spectre? I work for AB May. You guys are awesome.
We appreciate it. Yeah, I hope AC, you took extra nice care of his house.
AC issue, something going on. AC, a little tune-up. What's going on? The heat working? We're going to find out. We need to ask the boss what's going on there. Well, text in. Let us know what you were doing there. You know, just a little tune-up, seasonal tune-up. What's going on?
Could be. You know, a little pre-winter tune-up. That's not that uncommon. Mm-hmm. I get that done on my furnace. Haven't turned on the heat yet. Anybody turn on the heat yet?
I have not.
Oh, no, it's been it's supposed to be like 90 not. Again.
I know. There's been a couple of mornings where it was like 50. I don't know if anyone.
Yeah, but I'm not, in the morning, though, I'm not yet. Not yet. When I wake up, I'm not like hanging around in the morning at my apartment for like 2 hours before I go to work. I mean, it's like, I let the dog out, I feed her, I take a shower, and then I'm ready.
And then it's time to leave.
It's a little chilly.
So you're under the blanket, you're in a hot shower, and then you're like, I'll take care of this little chilly.
And the first time I step on the like laminate or whatever it is, you know, like that in the bathroom, but that's it. Like, other than that, it's not a problem.
Before we get back to the Royals for just a second, this is Royals related, so I am curious. What should I do about class on Monday? What's everyone's energy here? I'm going to give everyone the setup, and then I want to know. On Monday, I teach class at UMKC.
Yes.
That class starts at 4 o'clock. It ends at, traditionally, 6:30. Sometimes we end about 6.
Oh, perfect. The game's 6:30. At 6:30. Yeah, I think
game's
you have class.
Game's at 6:30. Yeah. Do I have class? Do I cancel class? Do we end class
end at
early?
Six. End at 6.
End at 5:30. End at 6. What's everyone's energy on what I need to do on
Monday? The game on Monday is 6:38, right? So
I want to make sure I get home. I want to be sitting in front of the TV before that game
6
starts.
O'clock.
Cancel your class.
The whole class? For
yes.
His class starts at 4.
It should be a day of celebration. Watch the Royals.
It's the ALDS. I mean, this is a world.
Don't have class.
But here's the problem.
It's fine.
If I cancel class this time, there's a chance there'd be an ALCS game on the following Monday. I've now set a precedent, Drew, that I cancel class every Monday.
I don't.
We
think
only have class on Monday.
No,
we have to sometimes learn.
I think it's 5:30 or 6 is when you end class. You end a little early. That way, you still have class, but you don't cancel the whole thing.
I feel like that's my energy. What, maybe have class, but end early.
What time is the class?
It is at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Till
6:30. Game starts at 6:38.
Look, if the Royals, are you able to get into the lab a little bit early before the?
I can in class whenever I want.
No, are you able to get in to the lab before your class starts?
Yes.
If the game starts at 3:38 next Monday, have a watch party for your class. You don't have to cancel class.
So you're saying if it's the following Monday,
nobody wants to have a watch party in college at their professor's class.
And only like, I mean, I'm going to guess think. That based
or,
on
or you just cancel the class.
I'm just going to say based on the energy of this classroom, there is a handful of sports fans, and I would say the rest probably don't care. So I'm not really canceling it for them. I'd only
you
be canceling
stuck,
it
then.
For the small number of people in there. Someone says 1 hour class maximum, says no one is going to that class.
I just don't have class.
Yeah, for the way, but
no,
for
don't,
the,
don't have it.
For the three people that throughout the show have continued to text in, the game is at 5:38. Yes, on Saturday, not on Monday. On Monday, the game is at 6:38. Thank you.
Yeah,
please.
Saturday's 5:30.
There's been like three people, the same three people that have texted in throughout the whole show.
We're talking about Monday's class. My problem is, again, if the Royals advance in this series, there's a pretty good chance they would be playing on the Monday again for the ALCS. That would likely be another evening game, which would look, if the game was at 4, no class, right? Game's at 3 o'clock, no class.
Sure.
I have to do stuff. Sorry. But because we can have like a half a class, I feel like we should do something.
How long?
What if I just made an assignment based on playoff baseball?
That's a podcasting suggestion.
Maybe I could have them watch the game and then submit.
I just think you let them out at a half hour or
have
an hour early.
Burns pre and post or pregame. How imperative, like, where are you at in the semester? Are we getting like to midterm?
It's October already.
Midterms about, right? It's midterm-ish. I don't know.
We're not having midterms in my class.
Project. Is there a big project that's like,
have you had a grade anything yet?
Yeah. I have more stuff to grade tonight. Professor Tapp's on duty tonight. Finally got a free evening. I got to grade like 18 podcasts from these students.
Is there a big project that to do?
No. They're all the same amount, except for the final.
I'll be totally honest. You can
so much for that 13-page syllabus.
You could cancel both classes then.
I had to put some stuff in there.
You could cancel both classes then, because I've been in classes where a lot of it all comes down to the final project at the end. You don't even have to have class.
Oh, you told us about your story. You almost got kicked out because you were arguing from college, because you were arguing with your professor. They thought you were threatening your professor.
No, it was not my professor. It was
the dean of the school.
It was a liaison who was basically the assistant dean of the college communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I was a very stressed out college student in that moment in time, and it was not my best moment.
Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot going on my last couple years of college.
Someone says, isn't this a communications class? Tell them to stay home, watch the game, and we'll discuss the broadcast next class. But it's not a broadcast class. It's about podcasting. I could assign them a podcasting assignment.
Have them do a 25-minute podcast on that.
25, dude. That's we're not at 25 minutes yet. We're working in 5-minute podcast chunks right now. We're working ourselves up to 10.
What is getting done in 5 minutes?
Oh, look, we got to work on the editing stuff, too. I got to teach him how to, like, put intro music in, put sound in. Like, we got to build up the length of the podcast.
So you haven't got to the content part.
No, that's...
Just the planning.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right. So
if I tell them to put down 25 minutes, also, 25 minutes, 18 times over, I quit this job.
Oh, jeez.
To grade those. I got to save that for the final, dude.
What, you just think they're paying you to not do anything?
I can't grade 25 minutes 15 times this year. That's too long.
Drew said he'll listen and help.
How imperative?
I listened to some of them while I was doing the dishes the other day.
So take real quick. Give me a 1-minute overview of what a class is typically like for Kobe
for
Tapp
me.
And UMKC.
Okay, great. Like, they vary a little bit. Most recently, we're working on how to create a podcast from start to finish, and we've talked about some of the content, some of the ability to create a rundown to make that content. And now we've begun the beginning editing process. How to put sound in, how to change transitions of sound inside of that, and how to add more sound elements into your podcast. So the last time we worked on that in class, they had raw audio and raw sound, and we spent time in class having them put that together for a finished piece of audio.
Text line says, it has to be said, this podcast class sounds terrible.
What? What the hell, 785? What do you mean? So that podcast should be shorter than Cody's song.
Okay, so if you want to have the class, if you feel like you have to have the class, go from 4 to 5, end at 5, give them an assignment, and just give them a heads up, like, hey, if they play next week, we're not having class.
I think if I... Yeah.
And I'll give you an assignment...
Based on that?
Based on either that, or I'll give you something
to
do. And
then you get to World Series games, those could be on a Monday. I mean, you know. If the Royals go on a run, none of this class is going to
just start.
They're already inviting me back
for
next year, or next semester. I can't.
You have
nothing
to lose.
I can't. What do you mean nothing to lose? I still feel like they could change their mind.
I still.
Somebody says guest lecturer.
I still towards the end of the semester, I want 3 names of students for us to contact,
who are willing to talk,
to come in studio. And give us their honest assessment once the grades are already submitted.
So I can't influence.
I want them to come in studio.
So I can't
influence
it?
And I want to get their honest thoughts on Professor Tapp's class.
This person said guest lecturers, if they're gonna be giving a speech and you're gonna be sitting on your phone, Cody, at the desk just watching the Royals game over on the side. I don't think you should have class.
I'm not gonna put the Royals game on the side. We will be done before first pitch.
Somebody said it's pretty obvious how important the playoff games are, considering Drew left the other day.
It's a great point.
Look, I
was shopping at the Legends.
I shopping instead of watching the Royals playoff game.
To the rest of the game on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the final part of it. Then we went to the Legends afterwards.
What did you buy? What did you get?
Oh yeah, do you need
my wife picked up We went to Bath & Body Works. My wife picked up an order from Hollister as well that she had for some sweatpants.
Gotcha.
And we walked around to a couple other spots.
Is it too early to ask the university what their getting a TA policy is? Maybe that would speed up this process.
A teaching assistant? Oh, you need help?
Can I get a TA?
What are they paying you for, man? What are they paying you for?
Just ask
it. This isn't high school.
Someone says there's at least 5 UMKC athletes in your class. That sounds like an easy A class.
Are there?
You tell me, are there?
I don't think there are 5 student athletes in my class. I could be wrong.
Cody using the proper student-athlete term. He's really professor now.
I don't think anybody knew this was an... If it is an easy A class, no one knew it yet.
Has nobody shown up?
It's got a reputation developing now.
It's the first time I've ever taught.
Next spring, the enrollment's going to be sky high for the class.
Has nobody shown up with like a duffel bag or like a UMKC soccer shirt or whatever?
No, I don't think so. I think there's more communication students than athletes in my class at the moment. I'm just asking what everyone thought.
Sounds like I should have part of class. But I shouldn't go until 6:30 because that's too close to first.
You should ask the students what they want. Because, believe me, there are some people who would rather be in class because they're paying for it. There are people who would absolutely say you should have the class.
Yeah. I get that.
Thinking of, this is the way to transition. You know, thinking of class, let's talk about Q, the master class that he put on. How about that? You like that?
Smooth.
Yeah, you like that?
That's very good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Let's talk about the master class that Q had yesterday with bullpen management. Obviously, results speak for themselves, and so that's going to make everything look good. But I think he's been sensational with the bullpen management. Maybe there were some other things, pinch hitter, pinch runner, that you have an issue with. It ended up working out. But the bullpen, in terms of having 5 guys throughout the 2 games of that series that he was willing to either stretch for 4 outs in some cases or bring in on non-clean innings, Schreiber and Serpa, who was great, and of course, Ursaig, you've come to expect him to be great. Bubich, like, he's got 5 guys to work through, and I think he's laying out the him and the coaching staff laying out the back half of this game yesterday when they needed a lot of help because Lugo only went 4 1/3.
Yeah.
Was masterful. It really was. Like, they go into the game with a plan. You have to, you know, differ from it at times, but I thought it was honestly perfect bullpen management, and of course the execution was also perfect by the players.
Yeah, I think that when you look at it, some of it is the players bailed him out, right? The players made him look incredibly smart. But man, he had like a plan of attack. He's going half innings, third innings, 2/3 innings. Like, he was mixing and matching seemingly perfectly against Baltimore lineup. Did he get lucky that every single reliever he called in seemed to have the absolute best stuff of their life? Yeah. Zerpa striking out guys on pitches that are coming so far inside, it hit them. He broke a man's hand and struck him out at the same time to add double insult to injury. And so some of you just got bailed out, but this goes back to the same thing. I didn't understand the complaints about Q before. You and I have talked about this. A major league manager has less impact on the actual game than any other coach of the other major professional sports. Less than the NBA, less than the NFL by a mile. That one's got like leader in the clubhouse locked up, no questions. And even less in hockey, where, you know, there is some line stuff. Yeah, do lineups matter a little bit? Sure. Does who you pinch hit win matter? Sure. Does who you pitches? But most of the time it's, do they have it that day when you're calling on relievers?
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that you're making the bad decision until that guy doesn't have it that day, because you wouldn't think it's a bad decision to throw Ursaig, but sometimes he might not have it. We don't know.
That's fair. And Melendez being pulled for a pinch runner that wasn't Blanco. You know, those things I think are fair criticism.
I didn't like that one as much.
One I just saw on the text line and I saw it on social media. Can we be clear about how the challenge system works late in baseball games for a
second?
They
don't hurt you like in the NFL.
Someone did not like the challenges. Late, you have 2 challenges. If it's the 8th inning, you have nothing to lose by challenging, even if we all agree it was probably unlikely to get overturned. One, because you have 2. And it's already the 8th inning. The other part is we had this conversation with JJ Piccolo that basically you can ask for a crew chief review even when you're out of challenges, and usually they'll grant it. And then once you get to extra innings, unless it changes in the playoffs and I missed it,
they do it anyway.
Yeah. So there is really no risk of using a challenge late in the game. Now, you want to burn one in the first inning, I guess we could have a debate. 8th, 9th inning, who cares if they use a challenge?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It didn't feel like they burned anything by doing it. Obviously, in that moment. But it's just, a lot of times managerial decisions just feel like, do the players make them look smart or do the players make them look stupid? Because I get it. You'd be like, why are you putting Paul, you know, like, why isn't Paul DeJong in there? Well, if Hunter Renfroe hits a homer, then you don't really care about DeJong anymore, do you? But if it's the opposite and they put DeJong in and he strikes out three times, now you think he's bad at doing... No, sometimes players just don't have a good game. Sometimes they do. Yesterday was the best I've ever seen him use the bullpen for a guy that needed more than five innings or four and two-thirds innings of play out of his bullpen. Damn sure seemed like he had every single player on the entire Orioles lineup guessing. The second he switched to the new arm, next guy couldn't get it. And he went, and we were a little scared of this. He went quick hook on Lugo. He did not let him hang himself. He went quick hook. He didn't even get out of five innings, Gold. If I had told you that before, typically I'd be like, maybe let Lugo get out of this trouble himself.
Would have been very worried. Now, they were starting to get some decent contact on him.
But he had just gotten the pop-up.
I think he was willing to make that hook because of what we just said. Suddenly, you've got five guys.
And the bullpen you trust.
And the pin you trust. You know, in early August, no, I think Lugo absolutely stays out longer. And doesn't mean that they'll do the same thing against the Yankees. Let's say it's Waka that is in the fifth inning, one out, and he's starting to struggle. Maybe they actually leave Waka in. Who knows? I don't think it's something that's going to be the same every single time. Tomorrow we'll talk a lot more about the Yankees and Royals series in particular. We're going to actually be out at Community America Credit Union, 135th and Black Bob. Joel Goldberg's going to join us for a little fan club out there. Josh Briscoe's going to talk some Chiefs with us tomorrow on the show. So if you're in South KC or so,
we'll see you there.
Come on out there. I believe they're having some burgers Ooh. Being grilled, Chiefs cheerleaders, Casey Wolf. It's a Red Friday in KC heading into a continued month of October full of blue as well, man. It's going to be a fun show tomorrow. Hope to see you guys there. The Drive with CDOT and Rob, they're on the air. It's coming up next.